Now, before I get into the message, I just want to say a few things about the impact of the coronavirus, which is happening worldwide. And firstly, you know, since this whole thing started, I don't know, was it back in February, January? I've just had those two scriptures in my mind. Mark 16:13, that Jesus said, "You'll drink poison. If you drink poison, you won't be harmed." Of course, Psalm 91 as well, which is a great protection psalm, 91 verse 6 and 7. You know, you're not going to fear this or that, this terror, the pestilence that in the stalks in the darkness, the plague that stalks at midday. 1,000 can fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. And that's a great word to stand on. So firstly, we don't need to be in fear. And you know, the word says to us, I think it's in Isaiah, or was it Jeremiah? "Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord." So that's the first thing. Let's not be in fear. The second thing is we are trying as a church our best to heed the wise advice of the government. And the Bible says to obey those who rule over you and submit to the authorities. So, and it's also, you know, in everyone's best interest. So we are, of course, abiding by all the guidelines that the Ministry of Health are putting out, hence some people wearing hot rubber gloves today and things like that. We're doing communion a bit differently, all those sort of things. But one thing I feel like God is saying to us is that this is such a great opportunity when people are afraid for us to rise up in humility with grace as the church and just be the love of God to people. We can encourage people. When we hear people at work around the water fountain in the office talking about, "Oh, coronavirus, we're all going to die," that's when you can step in and go, "Man, you can have peace. God's given me peace. I'm not scared about it just because I know Jesus and He holds the world, He holds the future." This is our opportunity to speak into that fear. This is our opportunity to say, "Hey, don't be scared. Do you want me to pray for you?" Or something like that, to pray with people, to pray for people, to intercede for our nation, to intercede and pray and stand against things like plagues and coronavirus and all these things. We did that with the bushfires. We prayed and then God sent rain, so much rain there were even floods. So, you know, we can stand against these things in Jesus' name. This is our opportunity to intercede for our nation and for the world. This is our opportunity to pray. And I think we're going to see backsliders coming back to the Lord. I just saw in Tauranga this morning, one couple I haven't seen in a long time, and they've been out in the wilderness for a few years. They're back in today. You know, sometimes when things like this happen, people get scared, and it says that. Jesus said in Luke 21, I think it was 26, people will be terrified when they see all these things coming upon the earth, and that even the very powers in heaven will be shaken. And he was talking about the things happening in the last days. So people are scared, but in that, we can speak out the love of God into that. So we have an opportunity to serve people even. If people are self-isolating, maybe we could get their groceries for them or something like that. We can be a help practically and spiritually. So tell the person next to you, get ready to pray and to serve. That's right. It's exciting. So today, we are talking about, if you're taking notes, faith that pushes through. Write that down as a title, faith that pushes through. Alan and I have been at a couple of conferences and a bunch of us as well up at Disciple Makers, Pastor Rocky and Karen and Pastor Joe and a bunch of us and in Auckland. And our church received three prophetic words over a five-day period from Pastor Phil Pringle, Pastor John Pierce, and also Pastor Luca Robertson, who's a prophet in South Auckland, and we've got him coming to preach later in the year. And one of them was, our church is going to double in a decade. So that's really exciting. That means we have to get ready to all of us disciple someone, or maybe run an alpha group or a connect group or host one in our home or something like that. So tell the person next to you, get ready to double in a decade. I just love the alliteration, double in a decade. Okay, faith that pushes through. My favorite book ever, apart from the Bible, is Pastor Phil Pringle's book, Faith. Who's read that book? I've read it like five times. It's in our church library. You can get it and avail yourself of it for free and read it. It's amazing. So today we're talking about faith that pushes through. We are talking about being faith people. We're not talking about the faith, like the Christian faith. We're talking about being people who believe God. People with pushy faith. And we need to keep building up faith inside us. Why? Because it gets used up. God loves faith. And it is the language that he speaks. And if we want to communicate with God, we need to speak his language. And his language is the language of faith. So I just want to pray right now that God will speak to us, because what we're going to do today is a bit different. You might see this. It's not my little hip flask of whiskey. It's anointing oil. And once a year, near the start of the year, we like to get everybody out and anoint them with oil. We did this in Tauranga last week. We're doing it here today. Don't worry, we will pray for you with an outstretched arm. This is like a meter between us. And we won't breathe in your face. And so oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And in the Old and New Testament, they anointed people with oil. And the kids' leaders are going to be praying for and anointing the kids as well. So we're going to do that soon. Father, we do pray right now that you would speak to us through your word and you would develop some pushy faith inside of us. Lord, that it would be faith, a spirit of believing you that wouldn't back down but would rise up and step out and speak out and act in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to not be pushy people, but have people with faith that pushes through boundaries, pushes through unbelief, because faith is the currency of heaven. This is what Pastor Phil says. Faith is the currency of heaven. This is how the Lord operates. The Lord doesn't respond to need. He responds to faith. If God only responded to need, then there would be no poverty or lack anywhere in the world. He doesn't just respond to sincerity, he responds to faith. So today we've got four main scriptures. Here's the first one. Let's throw it up there. Hebrews 11, verse 6. That great faith chapter, Hebrews 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Everyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who earnestly seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we've got to have faith if we want to please God. Do you want to please God today? So do I. When we believe God with the spirit of faith, it pleases him. We've got to be a believing believer, not an unbelieving believer. Faith gets God's attention and his response. Faith honors God, and God honors faith. And when we believe God, we are saying, God, we trust you. We trust your character. But if we don't believe God, we are saying that we're actually doubting his integrity. We're doubting that he will do what he said he would do. So if God loves anything, it's faith. And if God hates anything, it is unbelief. Because unbelief insults God. Do you know that we actually despise God and call him a liar when we don't believe him? But when we say, yes, Lord, I know you're going to fulfill your word. I know you're going to do what you said you'd do. Then God is really blessed by that. Because faith pleases God. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. We must learn to resist unbelief. Talk to the hand. Put your hand up. We've got to learn to resist unbelief. Amen. When it rises up inside us, we've got to push through it. Because sometimes our faith needs to be pushy. Some of you need to get pushy in the spirit. In the spirit, not in the natural. Some of you need to get pushy in the spirit because you're just too nice. Not me, not Pastor Rucky, but the rest of you are just too nice. And when you're praying for your friends and your family and your workmates to get saved, we're going to need to push through some unbelief. See them saved. Visualize it through the eye of faith. See them in the baptismal tank. When you're praying for that healing, we've got to push through some unbelief. When you're believing God for a husband or a wife, and you're praying for that special someone, you've got to push through some unbelief. And just believe God that one day that special someone will walk in those church doors and walk down the aisle and your eyes will meet across a crowded altar call and you will run in slow motion towards each other after you've locked eyes. That's right, one day you know that special someone is going to walk in those doors. There she was, just a walking in the church singing. Something in tongues. Yeah, yeah. That was your tongues. That was very nice. Did you know that faith is always moving forward? Faith is never just satisfied to sit still and see what will happen. Wait and see. No way. Faith is not passive. Faith always pushes through. Now, unbelief is more dangerous than we think. God hates it. Here's a quote from Charles Spurgeon, that great man of God from over 100 years ago. He said, every other crime touches God's territory, but unbelief aims a blow at his divinity. It denies his goodness, blasphemes his attributes, maligns his character. Therefore, God, of all things, hates first and chiefly unbelief, wherever it is. We've got to get this stuff, this unbelief, out of our hearts and minds, because it will stop us from doing God's will. I've read a bit on Wigglesworth. I love Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth, that famous great English apostle of faith, who came out here almost 100 years ago in the 1920s, and many Pentecostal movements started out of his visit in those meetings. My great-grandfather was a Presbyterian minister. He lined up in 1924, I think it was, outside the Wellington Town Hall to try and get in, but he didn't get in because it was packed full of 3,000 people. I often wonder what would have happened if he had got in, how different my family may have been. But anyway, Smith Wigglesworth had a fantastic remedy for unbelief. He said, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he knew that having the Holy Spirit flowing in your life could defeat unbelief. And he said these words when he preached in Wellington in, I think it was 1924. He said, get filled with the Holy Ghost and unbelief will depart. Unbelief is sin. It is the greatest sin because it hinders you from all blessings. Now, I suspect there may be some people here today who are not yet baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and you've maybe been waiting for the right time for that to happen. I want to tell you that today is the right time for you. It is your time. So when we anoint you with oil and pray for you, as we're going to do in a few minutes, I want you to say to the person who's praying for you, pray for me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Because we so need the power of the Holy Spirit flowing in our lives every day. It is life-altering. It is transforming. Here's the second scripture. Write this down. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12a. 1 Timothy 6, 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Faith is a fight. Faith is an aggressive spiritual quality. Some other women might be thinking, well, that doesn't sound very ladylike. Well, the Bible never tells us to be ladylike. That was probably Queen Victoria who told us that back in the 1800s. And she's dead now. The Bible tells us all, men and women, not to be timid, but to be bold and strong and courageous and full of faith. Faith makes things happen. And like Wigglesworth said, if the Spirit doesn't move me, I move the Spirit. So what he's saying is he will take a step of faith in God. Faith takes territory. Faith wants to go ahead with God into the future. Unbelief wants to be safe and comfortable. Unbelief wants to go back to the good old days, back to Egypt. But if we are ever going to achieve anything for God, as a church, as individuals, it's going to take faith. If we want to win Tauranga for Jesus, New Zealand for Jesus, it's going to take some pushy faith. Are you ready to get your pushy faith on in 2020? God wants us to be his change agents on the earth. He wants to bring eternal life change to people through you and me. And everywhere Jesus went, he changed people and made them better. He went around taking sickness off people. Leprosy, blindness, lameness, crippling diseases, deafness. He went around breaking the power of the devil off lives. He sent the demons packing. He even took death off people. Jesus didn't ever say to somebody, oh, well, I see you have leprosy, and I just want to give my condolences to you. And, you know, I really feel for you. And I want you to know that you will be in my thoughts and prayers. I hope you have some medical insurance. See you in heaven. He didn't ever do that. He didn't just say nice, compassionate words and walk away. Jesus did something about it. He brought healing into the situation. He brought deliverance and life into the situation. He brought change into the situation. Jesus didn't ever leave people the way he found them. Wigglesworth again, he said, if I leave you the way I found you, then God has not spoken through me. Jesus spoke words of life and faith, and miracles happened. He taught the truth about the Father. He showed us a new way to live. God has called us to do the same, to bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth, to bring the kingdom of heaven down to Tauranga, to bring people into an encounter with the love and power of God. Jesus doesn't only want to change us. He wants to change our families, our whānau, our friends, our neighbors, our schoolmates, classmates, workmates, our schools, oh, I've said that, our workplaces, our offices. He wants to bring them to life. He doesn't want us to settle for the status quo. You know, we should never just accept things the way they are. We have to pray and believe and act in faith for God to intervene in others' lives. The Lord wants to change the eternal destinies of others through you and me. And some people are going to be changed forever just because they met you. They're going to go from darkness to light because they worked in your office. They're going to switch from the road to hell to the road to heaven because they moved in next door to you. They're going to go from the power of Satan to the power of God because they sat next to you in your year 12 class. We don't just settle for what we see. We bring the God factor to it. We are faith people. We are God's change agents in the earth because we have faith that pushes through. Tell the person next to you, I've got faith that pushes through. Yeah. That's right. Because God wants to bring change to the people around you and me. We are faith people. We don't just sit there and do nothing. We ask the question like that Christian bracelet people used to wear, WWJD. Who was John Denver? No. What would Joe do? What would Janita do? What would Jared do? What would Jess do? Why do all these people's names start with J? I think they're just trying to be like Jesus. We don't just leave people the way we found them. We impart the love of God, the life of God to them. We impart the power of the Holy Spirit to them. We don't just accept things the way they are. Here's my third scripture. Write this down. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. This is an important part of faith. Faith speaks out. Faith has a voice. I want to tell you a very short story. I told this about 3.5 years ago. Some of you may remember it. Martin Luther, the amazing guy who brought the Reformation to Europe and the world, who lived in the 1500s. It was the year 1541, and his friend Friedrich, try and say that without spitting into the mic, Friedrich, was found in the last stages of TB. And he was in a bad way, and he couldn't even talk. And Luther thought, he's going to die really soon. And Luther didn't even have time to travel to visit his bedside. So he wrote out a prayer and sent it to him, maybe by a fast rider on horseback or something. And this was the prayer, and it was read out over Friedrich. May God not ever let me hear as long as I live that you are dead, but may God cause you to outlive me. I pray this earnestly, and I will have it granted. Friedrich immediately sat up, and he recovered straight away, and he did not die until years later after Luther had. Luther made a faith declaration. He spoke it out, and it happened just as he had believed and declared. We need to speak out what we believe the Lord is showing us. How do I see what God is showing me? Well, the closer we get to the Lord, the more we'll see what he sees. The more we speak and pray in tongues, the prayer language God gives us, the more we will see what he sees. The more we spend time in his presence, alone and corporately at church, the more we will see what he sees. He shows us a dream and a vision. We see it and then we declare it. And if you feel the Lord has shown you something over your life, a dream, a vision that you need to possess, have, and own in your future, then tell somebody. Yeah. Don't tell someone who's got unbelief. Tell someone who's wise, who you trust, maybe your leader or someone like that. And you've actually got to articulate it. You've got to speak it out. I believe God is going to use me to bring my friend to Jesus. I believe God's going to enable me to pass all my exams. I believe God's going to give me a husband or a wife. I believe God is going to give me a job. I believe God's going to provide money for me to go on that missions trip. I believe God is going to speak through me to my neighbor. I believe my husband is going to be saved. I believe my kid is going to come back to Jesus. I believe I'm going to be promoted at work. I believe God is going to give us our own home. I believe God is going to heal me of the sickness. I believe God is going to get me out of debt. We've got to speak it out to somebody. We have to declare aloud, prophetically, where God is taking us. We had to do this at Kids Go Wild the other week. Who was at Kids Go Wild? You know, it was freaky. And we had set up at 3. By 3:30 we were set up. The thunder and lightning started making a bit of a noise, a bit of a light show. And then at 3:40 p.m. the heavens opened. Now, it was a hot day. We all had on sort of like singlet tops, sunblock and hats. And then hail, ice on this hot, sunny summer day, hail. It was like the devil threw everything he had at us. We had horizontal rain, wind out of nowhere, lightning, forked lightning, which we don't normally get here in New Zealand, and thunder, and it was freaky. And Rocky broke out a prayer meeting on the bus with lots of people on the bus. And we were in the tent, Janita and I, were trying to put the sides up. It was freaky. And someone said to me, man, this is so not fair. We're just going to have to cancel the day. And I said, we're not canceling. We've still got 10 minutes till we start at 4 o'clock. It's going to stop. And praise God, they were praying and we were declaring. And at 4 o'clock, it stopped. And the sun came out and all these omokoroa people poured in. It was amazing. It was like the most amazing Kids Go Wild. We were just praising God. But we have to speak out in faith, in prayer, and in declaration what God is saying. It's very important. The enemy hears it. All of heaven hears it. Fourth scripture. Are you keeping up? Are you writing them down? Here we go. This is a good one. Joel 3, verse 10b. Joel 3, 10. Let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong. Now, it doesn't say, let the weak say, I am weak. Because, you know, that's the facts. And that's just where I am right now because that's my reality. And I'm a realist and I'm sincere and I just like to tell it like it is. No, we've got to tell it like it's going to be. We've got to tell it like it's going to be. We've got to tell it how God wants it to be. God lives outside of time. He is not limited by time. He knows the end from the beginning. To him, our future is history. The Lord does not just see you as you are right now. He sees what you're becoming, what you're going to be. This is just as real as where we are at right now. He sees what we are becoming. It's amazing. Now, we can't see what we're going to become yet, but just because we can't see it with our eyes, you know, we sometimes wonder and we doubt it sometimes. But guess what? We can't see God either, and we know he's real. So we need to view ourselves through God's eyes. He sees us as a finished product. So we need to get into agreement with God. We need to say what we are becoming, not what we are right now. We need to say what he is making us into. So let the weak say, I am strong. Say it with me. Let the weak say, I am strong. Prophesy it. Let the weak say, I am strong. Shout it out. Let the weak say, I am strong. Tell the person next to you, I am strong. Amen. It's true. It's true. We've got to stop prophesying weakness and limitation over our lives when the Bible is telling us to prophesy strength. And I am throwing in a fifth scripture. So let's just throw one in. It's not on the screen. Here we go. Number 5, Hebrews 10:23. It says, let us hold fast or hold firmly the confession of our faith, of our hope without wavering. Now, that word confession, in some versions of the profession, hold fast to the confession of your faith, it means in the Greek homologia. I think I'm saying it correctly. Homo, the same as, logia, logos. So say the same as the logos, the word of God. Say the same as God's word says. Say the same as God says. Get into agreement with God. Say what God says. Don't say what the media says. Don't say what your mother says. Don't say what all the girls at work say. Say what God says. We've got to get into agreement with God. Stop talking about where you're at right now. Start talking about where you're going to be. Stop talking about what you are right now and start talking about what you are going to be. God wants us to get a dream and a vision of where we're going and declare it and speak it out over our lives. Because we are the church. We are the ecclesia, the called out ones. We are a prophetic people. We're called to be out there in front. And we've got to declare the things that are not as though they are, as though they were. Like God does. We're not just to be saying what's already happened, reporting the news. We've got all of the media to do that. We are to say what is yet to come. Speak prophetically, prophesy, declare in Jesus' name. We are in a process of transformation. We are not staying where we are, if the band could come, please. We are being changed from glory to glory. We are not what we were. We're being made to be more like God every day. And God is not weak. He is strong. We're being made to be more like Him, and He is not sick. He is well and whole. God is not lonely. He's got the biggest family in the world. God is not poor. He's rich. He's loaded. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God is not lacking. He has an abundant supply. This is who we are, church. We're becoming like Him, strong, well, whole, rich, blessed, loved, having an abundance. And God wants the things He has shown you in the Spirit to come in to your reality. How does this happen? The way this happens is through faith-filled prayer. Now, we don't pray with a whiny tone. God hates a whiny tone, and all the parents said, amen. Whiny tone, switch off, talk to the hand. So don't ever pray like this in a whiny tone. Oh, God, please, if it's your will. I know you've got lots on your plate right now with international wars and conflicts and viruses and plagues, but, you know, God, please, if you can you help me out down here? Don't ever beg God. There's no faith in begging. There's only self-pity. And faith and self-pity can never coexist. You will either have faith or you will have self-pity. You won't have both. Which one's it going to be? Pick one. Faith or self-pity. Maybe you have been a victim, but you don't need to stay one. You are not a victim anymore. You are a woman of faith. You are a man of faith. So we need to pray in faith with boldness and expectation. We approach the throne of grace with confidence because we are God's kids. And the Father provides for us. He delights to provide for you. The Bible says you are the apple of His eye. He rejoices over you with singing. So this is how we pray. Thank you, God, you've given me a job. I can't wait to start the job you are giving me. Thank you, God, for the money you are providing for me to go on this mission trip. I'm getting ready to tithe this gift from you already. Thank you, God, for that husband you have got for me. Lord, bring it on. Bring him on in Jesus' name. What are you praying for right now in faith? What are you believing God for now in 2020? I believe there's going to come an impartation of faith for